Thank you. Good morning. It was really great on Thursday night to see so many of you out at the Magnificat Carols to support Jesse and the others that were doing that. It was just, I kept looked around and I was like, this is what it's all about, is supporting one another. And so, and what a wonderful night it was. I wanted to share with you, before I get started in my message, I would appreciate your prayers. January 11th to 19th, I'm going with a team of seven people to Jamaica to serve with Jamaica Teen Challenge. So we're going to be going and doing some work projects, but also some evangelism projects there. We need your prayers as we just seek to, we're doing ministries that include things like going to, there's a truck stop that has 150 prostitutes there. And we're just going to take love to share with them and opportunities like that. So if you will please just keep us in prayer in January, we would appreciate that. And so our theme this week of Advent is love. Have you ever become lost in those endless cycles of YouTube shorts or Facebook reels? And you've just like hours of time disappear, right? And there's a trend where people upload videos of themselves cleaning or tidying messy homes, or they're restocking pantry items, and like everything is all about the use of specialty items. There's no cardboard boxes to be found, and these YouTube social media people are just so excited when you separate things by color or fill it to the top, because people enjoy this. There's something about detail an organization that brings many people joy, right? And when we talk about God's love, it's worth considering how that love is displayed in the details of our lives. God doesn't love us from a distance. His love is detailed, it's personal, it's intimate. And so let's look at today's passage and see how that comes out. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Caesar Augustus was also known as Gaius Octavius and is considered one of Rome's most successful emperors. As the adopted son and grandnephew of Julius Caesar, he led the founding of the Roman Empire, bringing the mass together. The Senate honored him with that title, Augustus, which means revered or exalted, for restoring order after the Civil War. Augustus's reign brought peace, prosperity, and stability to the empire. He governed with authority. He still allowed autonomy in the local provinces, including Israel, where the Jews were permitted to practice their religion. So although figures like Augustus and Herod Antipas held power, the Jewish Sanhedrin maintained control. Augustus will have had his own reasons for calling that census. He required all adult males to report to their ancestral home to be counted. He put the whole country on the move. Joseph and Mary were traveling 90 miles from Nazareth to his ancestral home in Bethlehem, as he was from the line of David. So how many mothers do we have here today? Quite a few, especially because we had the children. Moms, what do you think about getting on a donkey in your ninth month of pregnancy and traveling 90 miles over rough roads? No, thank you, right? So we can imagine that although it may have only taken so many days on paper to travel 90 miles by that donkey, I'm going to guess that they took a little extra time for Mary's comfort. But why is this census important? Important enough that it's mentioned in Scripture? Because it's through this census God used the leaders of the Roman Empire to bring to fulfillment that prophecy. Micah is a prophet in the Old Testament who prophesied between the years 740 and 680 BC. So 700 years before Christ was born. In Micah 5, verse 1 and 2, it reads, "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrath," I say it wrong every time, "Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Micah was describing the state of Judah at the time of writing. He was warning them of the impending siege by the Babylonians. They were going to be taken. Troops would be taken. But through the prophet Micah, the God of detail and the God of love, he beautifully intertwined it. Micah was careful to specify the exact location of the Messiah's birth. At that time, there were two villages with the name Bethlehem. And if you travel around Ontario, you know that happens a lot. There's lots of little places with the same names. So Micah specified that it was Bethlehem of Ephrathah, distinguishing it from the other Bethlehem in the region. This seemingly small detail highlights God's meticulous planning and purpose. The choice of Bethlehem, a humble town, most overlooked, this little place, it reveals that God's plan of redemption includes those small details. The Messiah's birthplace was not random. It was a deliberate choice by a God who's involved in every intricate detail of his plan of salvation. Despite the coming siege and the trials Judah faced at that time when Micah was prophesying, this prophecy offers a message of hope. God's love is evident in the promise that the Messiah will come to rescue and rule over his people. This promise that though you will be scattered, you will be gathered together, and that Messiah will bring peace, reveals deep, unconditional love. God is not distant or indifferent to our suffering or the suffering of his people. Instead, he is working out his plan of salvation for their ultimate good, showing that his love encompasses both the grand plan of salvation and the intimate details of their lives. And when we look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." We tend to picture the baby Jesus wrapped in those soft, beautiful blankets that we would wrap our newborns in. But it says he was wrapped in strips of cloth. He was born in a stable. That was likely strips of cloth that were used to bandage up a wounded animal's leg or something like that. And so these were what we would call rags. We know the reason for the travel, the census. We know the location of the birth, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Our God of details takes it to the next level. Which family line will the Messiah be born from? The line of David. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6 says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." In fulfillment of this prophecy given 600 years before, the angel Gabriel told Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." God went further. He even showed who the mother would be in his prophecy. Around 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Gabriel told Mary she would give birth to a son. Then he told Joseph, her betrothed. It appears Joseph assumed that Mary had been unfaithful and planned to end their relationship until he had a dream. And in Matthew 1, we hear, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so as was prophesied, the Virgin Mary conceived from the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This event not only fulfilled prophecy, it was a miracle. God provided a way for a virgin to conceive and give birth. That can only happen through an act of God. God provided them a safe place to have the baby when there was no room for anyone. God provided the cloths that the baby was wrapped in. God took care of all the details. When a baby's born, it's often the beginning of a profound bond, an immediate deep love that forms between parent and child. This connection's instinctual and miraculous. And in the case of Jesus, this love was amplified 100-fold for Mary and Joseph. It's easy to imagine the wonder and awe they must have felt knowing they were entrusted with the care of a child unlike any other. As parents, especially first-time parents, there's so many questions that flood our hearts. What will my child be like? How will I be able to meet their needs? Will I be enough? Will I be able to keep them safe? These are the questions all parents wrestle with. But imagine the weight of Joseph and Mary's responsibility. He's the child of God. Will I be able to point him in the right direction? What is this going to be like? Joseph must have reflected deeply on the angel's words. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. How could a simple man like him possibly raise the Savior of the world? And Mary, a young mother, must have been filled with joy and awe at the reality of her calling. Yet even in the midst of this overwhelming responsibility, we see the incredible God of detail at work. Every moment, every choice, right down to the very town where he was born, was part of God's meticulous plan for redemption. God's chosen that moment in history with precision that only he could orchestrate. The little details of Jesus' birth in a humble stable in the small town of Bethlehem, and the people he would interact with, all point to a God who cares deeply about the details of our lives and his plan for us. And the God of love shines through the birth of this child. God's love's not distant or abstract. It's deeply personal and tangible. He didn't send his son into the world to remain separate from us. Jesus came to share in the full range of human emotions and experiences, and his birth in such humble circumstances speaks volumes about God's love for us, for humanity. Through this act of love, God was entering into our world to meet with us and provide our greatest need, salvation. As parents, as believers, we can trust that God cares about the details of our lives and that his love is the ultimate driving force behind everything he does. I'm a step-grandma to 5 wonderful children, and I've had the privilege of witnessing firsthand the deep love and care that parents have for their children. One particular experience stands out to me. When my oldest granddaughter had turned 1, her mom was returning to work, so I would take her one day a week. And every time I would pick her up, I would be given these incredibly detailed notes about what was to happen at every point through the day. They sent her meals prepared, and the order I was to give them to her in was also on those detailed notes. Everything. Exact guidelines to her care. And I followed these instructions because I respected her parents' wishes. And this was their child, so they have a right to choose the way that their child will be cared for. And I was simply there to love and support them through this phase in life with their child. As time passed, they had another child, and they eventually came to that place where they laughed, and they were like, I can't believe how hyper-controlling we were about the first one. But it was a great time to remind them that I love you enough to follow your instructions, right? And you loved your child enough to put all those details together and do it. When God sent his son Jesus, he didn't just send a general plan of salvation. He sent Jesus with every detail meticulously planned. Jesus was born in a specific town at a specific time, and his life was woven together with divine intention. Just as I respected the parents' instructions for their child, God's love for us is expressed in his perfect and detailed plan for the birth, the life, and eventual sacrifice of his son. Jesus wasn't just born to show love. He was born to fulfill a very detailed, very specific purpose, and ultimately to die for the sins of the world. Through the years, I've had many experiences as a mother, a biological mother, a stepmother, an adoptive mother. And each time, God has shown me his love, not only at birth, but also in the incredibly difficult moments, especially at a time of loss. One of the most profound experiences of God's presence in my life came when I was blessed to be an adoptive mother to a precious little girl named Leanna. Leanna had been in and out of foster care her entire life. She was born with multiple challenges, including being exposed to 8 different drugs while in utero. And she never experienced a stable relationship with her parents. When her medical needs became too complex for her foster family to manage, I was called to step in. I was managing a group home for medically fragile kids in Orillia, and the chief of pediatrics called me and asked me to come meet this little girl, changing the trajectory of my life. I remember walking into that hospital room and meeting her for the first time. She was small and fragile. She was 5 at that time, just turned 5. And her eyes spoke volumes. And during a meeting with her social worker, Leanna crawled into my lap, and she stayed there holding on to me as if she knew I was her mom. And God was stirring something deep in my heart. And in that moment, I knew he had placed me right there for a reason. Months later, after a very long process, Leanna officially became a part of our family. Her time with us was short. It was filled with love, joy, and connection. Leanna ended up with medical needs that required constant care. There was a nurse at night so we could sleep. There was a nurse at school so that she could, her respiratory issues could be met. And at all other times, it was one of us. So if anyone was sick, it was one of us. But in those precious months, we fought for her life, and we cared for her every need. We knew her time with us would be short due to her condition, but we made the most of every moment. Leanna passed away after 18 months of being our daughter. And though the grief was overwhelming, God's love never left us in those last moments. As she passed from this world into the arms of her Lord, we knew that God was present. She knew that God was present. And I can still hear there was a song in my heart as she entered into the Lord's presence. God is so good. God is good all the time. And so in her 8 years of life, she taught us, her school, our church, the whole community, so much about God's love and that joy. And through the care, God taught me, through meeting her needs, he is a God of detail. He taught me many medical things I needed to know to keep her alive. He taught me how to read the signs to know when she needed her airway cleared so she could keep breathing. The God of detail loved her so much. He knit her together just beautifully. And I know now that she's rejoicing in the presence of her Lord, and one day I can be with him too. God's love is deep. It's intimate. God is there for us through all circumstances. He is, as I said, he's good all the time. Christ came into the world as an act of love and that detailed plan of salvation. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? What is God saying to us about love at this Advent time of year? These candles are a beautiful example. Have hope. As was told in the time of Micah, although you will go through times of trial and difficulty, the Messiah is coming again to rule and to reign. Jesus is coming back to fulfill all the prophecies because God loves us enough not to leave us. Be at peace. God is in control. He has all the details sorted out. He has had a plan since time began because he is eternal. Experience joy. We can have that joy because the Lord is near. And know that you are loved by a God who knew our lack of being able to save ourselves. And he went before and he met that need. God has made a way for us to be in relationship with him. God has made a way for us to have eternal life and a future with him if we will believe in the Savior he sent for us. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus in a few days' time, we must look at the reason he came, to make a way for us to be saved. Jesus came as that beautiful baby as an act of love, to live a life teaching us about who God is, and to offer his life to pay the price for our sins, all out of love. Let me share a few further verses with you about love. 1 John 4 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. As we approach Christmas, we're reminded of the incredible love that God has shown us. Through the birth of Jesus, the life he lived, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, we see a God who's both a God of detail and a God of love. This Christmas, we're invited to enter into that fullness of love. It's through love that Jesus came. He was born in humble circumstances with every detail of his birth, pointing to God's perfect plan for our salvation. It's through love that Jesus lived a sinless life, pouring himself out in service, teaching us how to live in relationship with God and with each other. It's through love that Christ died for us, taking upon himself the weight of our sins, offering forgiveness and making a way for us to be reconciled. It's through love that Jesus conquered death so that we might have eternal life and be restored to our Creator. It's through love that the Holy Spirit was given to us, empowering us to live out the love of God in our lives. Have you ever told someone that you loved them and felt frustrated when they didn't respond, you say, I love you. There's nothing. And you're, I love you, right? We do that with our children a lot. You say it back to me. Or perhaps you share your heart and you just lay yourself vulnerable and you don't get that feeling of a safe place or the response back that you'd hope for. Or even, it's Christmas time. Some of you might have put together and put so much thought and detail into a gift that you're going to give someone in a few days because you love them and you want them to know that you've paid attention. You've seen what they need or what they really want, but they wouldn't get for themselves. You put all those details in to show your love. The truth is, God loves us deeply, and he doesn't force us to love him in return. He wants us to respond, just as we want others to respond when we share with them. God wants to be in relationship with you. This morning, I just believe that there are some who are feeling God reaching out to them. You've sensed his presence in your life. You may be hearing his gentle call, inviting you into relationship with him or a deeper relationship with him. God's offering each of us salvation, the greatest gift of all. He's offering us the chance to know him more intimately, to be restored to right relationship that he created us for. The best gift you can receive this Christmas is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's the gift that gives you that peace, that joy, that hope, not just for this season, but for all eternity. The best gift you can give yourself is to respond to the call of God, the love of the Lord, to open your heart to him, surrender your life to his care. Make him the priority of your life. When you respond to God's love, you will experience that fullness of joy, peace, and hope that we celebrate during this Advent season. So as we reflect on the birth of our Savior, remember that Jesus came for you, not only as a baby in a manger, but as the Savior of the world, offering you eternal love and new life. Will you respond to that love today? Will you accept the greatest gift ever given and make room for him this Christmas? God's reaching out to you. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can see throughout the pages of Scripture your detailed plans, your love for the people that you've created. God, I thank you that you are all over our life story as well. That each person here, you desire to be in a deeper relationship with. You love. You created them. You have been part of the details of their lives and their stories just as much as you have been throughout my story. And God, as we enter the last few days before Christmas, may you just help us to focus on what really matters, the people in our lives and our relationship with you, Lord. God, help us to take advantage of, there are little slips of paper that we can give out to those around us, inviting them to come Christmas Eve. And that may be the greatest gift we can give someone this week, to show them that we were thinking of them, we want them to join with us, to want to share with them the love of God, the reality that your prophecies came true in Jesus, the beginning of that relationship with him. Lord, help us to leave our comfort zones so that we can enter into a trusting relationship with you, knowing you've got all the details looked after. I thank you for this Advent season and for how you've taken us through hope, joy, peace, and love. We just pray that you will continue to have your way and be magnified this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.